This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Please Allah, a chance to gain reward, I will spend on you, he says, on who spend in good cause. Good deeds are opportunities, sparkling bright and true. Raising you in the sight of Allah and adorning Al-Jannah for you. So rush to earn His reward. Don't forget the oppressed. And when you go to sleep at night.
Bismillah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wassalatu Wassalam, Ala Rasulil Kareem, Wa Ala Alihi Wa Sahbih, Wa Man Tabi'a Sunnatuhu Ila Yawmiddin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome again to another episode of your weekly live Islamic chat show, A Time to Please Allah. And I've been obviously away for a couple of weeks.
MashaAllah, welcome
so,
back.
It's good to be back. So I know you've been discussing over the last couple of weeks about the hijab. I attempted to watch the episodes, but I think I managed to watch like 20 minutes
okay,
of
have
one
you,
of
have
them.
You ever watched at least one episode full?
Of the hijab one?
No, or any of our episodes.
Of ours? No.
Me neither.
No.
People like, it's not like I sit down and watch my, I don't know. I can't watch more than like 10 minutes or just to see if there's any issues.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't stand kind of listening to myself. I don't know. I think most people have that issue. But yeah, we're talking about the hijab, and it's very, I think it kind of got stretched over a few episodes. We have Brother Muhammad Bano and the Brother Adil with us, and we had some good discussions and nice interesting phone calls. Actually, it was quite good to hear the opinion of the sisters, and we encourage actually the sisters to call, and the brothers, everyone to call. You can see the number on the screen. We are live today from Dubai, and today is also the opening day ceremony for the peace conference.
That's right, yeah, here in Dubai,
right,
and which is now part of the, well, it was last year as well, but it's obviously incorporated now with the Sheikh Mohammed Dubai World Peace Award.
Mm-hmm.
The Dubai World Peace Award. Even if you were to go to search for the Peace Conference website, it comes up as the DWPA, the Dubai World Peace Award. So it's all part of the government of Dubai. So I've heard that it's quite an improvement this year.
Okay.
So, I mean, inshallah, we're going to pass by on the way back from here.
Right.
And,
but yeah. You'll be there tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I'll be there tomorrow. So, with yourself, I believe. Yeah. As one of the Dawah counselors at their exhibition, yeah, answering people's questions about Islam and stuff like that. So, if any of the viewers want to come down and say salam, we'll be around, inshallah.
Like, even cool, like, to come down and, like, give some advice or some, you know. Maybe you see something that we don't see, that, you know, you were kind of shy to tell us over the phone or something like that, and you want to advise us, or you want to tell us something to change, or, you know, which direction to take the show in. Again, this show is really, you know, dealing with things that you have, issues that you have that you want to discuss. So we're always willing to listen and to
definitely hear. So the hijab, maybe you can fill me in a bit about,
well,
what you've covered.
Yeah.
So then I can maybe,
if you're just joining us today, by the way, that a lot of people might not know, but that our program changed now. Two episodes have been aired from 8 to 9 now.
That's
8
right,
to 9,
yeah.
8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Dubai time, UAE time, and 7 to 8 Mecca time. So make sure you mark your schedules. But yeah, we talked about the hijab in the first episode. We kind of discussed the rulings and the proofs around the hijab, why the hijab is fard. And we also refuted some of the misconceptions that people have about hijab. Then in the second episode, we kind of moved towards the social issues revolving the hijab and the I would say, difficulties that specifically the sisters face when it comes to wearing the hijab, to adhering to the hijab. What are the do's, don'ts, and, you know, what gets them closer to wearing the hijab and what pushes them away from the hijab. And we had quite some emotional phone calls and some different, you know. And it was nice to get a balanced view, a different, you know, points of views, you know. And to hear about these difficulties that a lot of sisters, some sisters, you know, saying that, you know, I just started wearing hijab like, you know, a month ago, and I feel so empowered. I feel so, you know, so strong, and some sisters saying that, you know, I want to wear the hijab, I'm not there yet, I don't think people should judge me, or, you know. So, I mean, it was interesting to hear, and so on, you know, the different views, and we discussed all these things. And then we said we wanted to move today a little bit more towards supporting our sisters and, you know, giving them the blessings and the glad tidings of, you know, what are the benefits of being a Muslim woman and being proud of, you know, being that. And we talked about, past episode, about, you know, the ghuraba, right? Bada al-Islam gharib, wa sayaudu gharib, fatuba lil-ghuraba. And how important is it to be a stranger, right? Because a lot of times, you know, if you're wearing that, confirming to the Islamic dress code, people will be like, you know, kind of like, especially in different parts of the world, people look at you kind of like, this person is very strange, right? So we said that you should actually take some kind of a power from that, you know, and it should motivate you to grab the glad tidings from the Prophet. So I guess today we'll have a guest that we'll talk about women.
Yeah, I guess inshallah, brother Mansour Danish will come after the break. He will. I don't want to go too much because obviously he'll introduce himself. But he conducts specifically not only in India, but he's conducted it even in Dubai. But I think the focus he's conducted it on, you know, as being living in India, he's done several places in India called Heroes of Islam, where he focuses on who are the real heroes that we should be looking at. So he's, you know, he focuses on the youth, etc. And he has obviously some as well, which are the female heroes or the heroines of like from the Sahabiyat, from the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, the female companions. So he'll be coming in and giving us a few examples of these women, or what kind of women they were, because we know there's always issues with the whole role models, and we touched upon that in our previous episodes. But
we talked about that women do lack the role model, and even the role models that they see, that they might sports some kind type of hijab, convertible type of hijab or whatever, you know, that's not the real representation of the hijab, right? So a lot of them might follow that.
And now we have people, you know, making happy videos.
I'm sexy,
I mean. I mean, that's just a mind boggler, really. I was just thinking about it. I was saying to myself, and I think some other da'is out there have said the same thing, but I was saying to myself, I mean, to be honest, I didn't go onto Facebook and as of yet, and mention anything about it, because I saw so many other people have done it.
Right.
So I thought, you know, but I mean, just the fact, you know, I mean, I don't want to invite people to go and watch it, of course, but I mean, I'm sure many people have already seen this video. And the sad thing about it is there are so-called people who claim to be callers to Islam there,
yeah,
not callers to the correct Islam, but right. I was very surprised to see an individual who, in their version of Islam, is considered to be like
a scholar,
and he's like the head of Islamic studies in Cambridge University, you know?
But the funny thing is that one of them actually distanced himself from that, even in their...
When it finally came out.
In their case, yeah.
I mean, even if... I mean, I don't know anybody can really justify it fatwa-wise, but even if somebody follows the weak fatwa that music is allowed, which, right, is, as we mentioned before, is very, very weak,
yeah,
that's the kind of music they're talking about maybe in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where they would play a very basic guitar
something,
or a flute, something very, yeah, simple, not the shake this, shake that, and
well, that's the worst, so, thing, I mean, is that the shaking that
apart
comes
apart from that, apart from the fact it is clear music of an individual who is famous for singing the most crude songs with Snoop Dogg and all kinds of,
right,
stuff. And I mean, I remember from many years ago, you know, very X-rated kind of songs and videos. I mean, the fact that he's singing is one thing, but then the music itself, completely haram. And then you have the sisters, unfortunately, in hijab.
Well, some version of hijab.
Dancing around and shaking everything around. I mean, literally, like any women in a video. And what is sad is they fail to kind of realize that, you know, you're dancing around your body. You're
clowning,
just,
yeah,
just like anybody. Even from the, I mean, from the man side of thing, you've seen the sisters jumping around. Most of them are wearing, you know, not necessarily the correct Islamic clothing anyway. So it was very sad to see that.
I think all of them.
And I think what was even sadder, because maybe some of them generally don't really realize, they think that they're hijab. So we're not like judging people in that sense. But it was, what was more surprising and more upsetting was I happened to tune in to a channel, an Islamic channel that comes from the UK, which again has many of its own problems. But, and they were actually talking about that. And they had, they were, I just tuned in. I was flicking through my, because I have a satellite, I have Islamic channels I have saved as favorites. So I was flicking through them. And I've really, really watched this channel. But now and again, they may have a documentary or something of interest. And it happened to be like a, it's like this kind of thing. It's a, like
talk
a, it's a talk show in the evening. Or and they were, subhanAllah, as I was doing that, because I'd seen these two hosts in the video, which is already a bit like, oh, come on, guys.
And oh, so the hosts are in the video.
The hosts are in the video doing what everyone else is doing, you know, because I'm happy and all that kind of stuff. And subhanAllah, so I would say to myself, oh, yeah, that reminds me. I just saw those guys in that clip that someone put on Facebook. And when I, so I stayed on for a few seconds and they said, oh, yeah, they're happy. They're literally talking about the video.
They're proud of it.
Must have generated some criticism. And they have a couple of people who were also there dancing around. And they said to them, you know, what kind of comments have you got? And it would be, I mean, it would be bad enough if they just said, oh, you got negative comments. That's a shame. Oh, really? Oh, but it's just a bit of fun. That's bad enough. But what they were saying is, did you get those guys coming along, you know, making those negative comments and saying, hey, what are you, this is not befitting, guys. This is not permissible. As if, like I said, as if it's a joke. Like, if someone is doing that, he's a Looney Tunes, he's an extremist, he's
Amr al-Maruf, yeah, it's
he's
like,
he's an over-the-top guy, you know. He's not on the, he's not on the middle path, he's an extremist or something.
Right.
So, and then one of the guys was just like, oh, yeah, you know, five-sixths of the people were like, great. And you had one-sixth of the people were like, it's haram. And even the way he was saying it was like, and that was, I think that was more upsetting to hear them saying that than the actual video itself.
Well, but that's the issue with red herrings, right? And when you're talking about discussions such as, you know, what's allowed and what's not allowed, is that people can just say that, oh no, oh, these people are saying that it's haram. So by, you know, just by stating that, you're dismissing and causing them to be in, you know, like this extreme side, saying that way, you know, saying to something that it's haram, it's something bad or it's something, you know, wrong, right? And that's the interesting, that a lot of people get caught into this, that, you know, the people who are calling to good, you know, they're marginalized, you know, and these are people who are very, very bad. They're always, everything is haram. They're the haram police, right? They even have these labels and terms now that they come up with, that, you know, these people are the haram police. But the thing is that if we refer, yani, فَرُضُّ, yani, if you want to take it back to Allah wa Rasuli, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, you there's no place for this, man. I mean, not for what they're doing. Okay, not for what they're doing. There's no place for women in, you know, the hijab, I mean, that they're wearing. And we're talking about hijab, to shake and to dance like that. And at the same time, the hadith that came to me, to my mind, and that I posted, actually, was the hadith of the Prophet saying that, you know, that you will follow the, you know, the people into the lizard hole. You'll do everything up to following them in the lizard hole. And the people, the sahaba saying, who? And the people of the, you know, who made, pretty much made this that the Jews and the Christians. And he said, who else? Yani? So, I mean, they make, you know, happy, then someone else will make, and the Muslims have to have the Muslim version. People have, what is this, vines, whatever they have right now?
Vines,
yeah. Right? There has to be the Muslim version, right? People make something, the Muslim version has to come out right away, you know? Now you have the happy penguin dance or whatever that's going around. I don't know if you've seen this.
I don't know about that one. Happy penguin.
Yeah, it's the happy penguin dance that's spreading around.
But it must be a pretty ridiculous dance.
It's been done by, you know, people at weddings and people wearing traditional clothes, and it's spreading around in the Muslim countries. Then before, used to have the, I don't know, what's the other?
The Harlem Shake.
Harlem Shake, whatever, you know. Every, I mean, it's like the Muslims are following everything, but they're not thinking, well, like, wait a second.
We can re-term as the Haram Shake.
The Haram Shake. And the we need to, I mean, forget about, you know, all the discourse. You know, people, oh, you guys think it's haram. We think we got, a fourth, or, you know, or like, you know, only if people saying that it's haram and everyone else said it's okay. And so on. That, those are just sidetracking. You look at whether this is allowed or not. Simple. As much as, you know, you would watch and be like, haha, that's funny or something, you know. It's not about whether it's funny or not. It's not about whether what your nafs thinks. It's not, you know, coming from the background that I come from, when I hear some music, sometimes it's like, oh man, you know, like, I can, you know, it's a beat that I would, you know, sport or something like that. But then you're like, wait a second, is this allowed?
And that's the whole funny thing point. Is, you know, if you look at the reality, I was, I came across, someone posted on Facebook, like, I can't believe this kind of thing. And yeah. It took me to a blog webpage of the people who did the video. And it had all the names of the people who were in the video. Sure. And at the same time, it said, we Muslims are always being accused of being grumpy, right. blah, blah, blah. And also being British, the stiff upper lip. We want to show the people that we're friendly and happy. But, I mean, we come from non-Muslim backgrounds. We know that if we were sitting there, alhamdulillah, we're not, on the other side of that, as in non-Muslims, see the Muslims doing that, we know deep down we're going to be saying, what are these Muslims doing? Yeah, right. We'd laugh at them, you know. Yeah. We'd say to them, you know, we probably would say, well, they're trying to be like us. Yeah. No, in the sense of what are they doing, you know.
Yeah.
They saw everyone else doing it, dancing around in New York and London, whatever, so they tried to do a British Muslims version. Why not just... Yeah, it seems over the top. Why not just make it like, if you want to take part in it, I'm not saying this is not permission from me, fatwa or something, you know. But if you're going to do that, why didn't you just do a regular London one and have a few Muslims with a few non-Muslims? And so it wouldn't stand out. But this whole making a happy British Muslims, it's just so what did someone put? Real cheesy. Even forget the haram, it's just really cheesy and corny and trying to just copy everyone else, imitate everybody else. It's just a big flop.
and going back, subhanAllah, to, you know.
You want to show that we're happy people. There's many things we can do. Show the Muslims greeting each other. Yeah, show the Muslims giving sadaqah.
No, show the Muslims how they respect the family, environment.
Show the Muslims on a Friday when they meet up at the gym and maybe hug each other.
Yeah. And make it as a dawah material, you know. This is not a dawah, it's a ridiculous thing that people look at and they'll be like, what is this? Make it as a dawah project. You want to show people that you're happy? Be happy about your deen. Okay? قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِي فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. So, this is the verse. قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِي. In the fadl of Allah, in the rahmah of Allah, this is what people should take pleasure in. This is better than what they gather. And subhanAllah, whatever it would be. Honestly, I used to listen to Pharrell. Back in the days, he was one of my favorites, and I'm not. You know, we talked before about music, and we have background and that we have good history with that. You know, but subhanAllah, this is the issue with Islam, that when you become a Muslim, you take a stance, and as Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, this deen of Islam, comes between a man's heart, his desires. We have desires. I'll be I'll be breakdancing right now if it wouldn't be for Islam. I'll be, and many brothers, we met Brother Ibn Abbas, who was much better than me. But he always says, don't talk to me about breakdance, man. Because, I still, these pose. Uh-huh. But Allah, so when I look at him, for example, brother like him, man, this guy was amazing, man. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came between him and his desires. So that's what subhanAllah needs.
Well, we've got to go for a break now. So, have a break, have a Kit Kat.
Time to please Allah, a chance to gain reward, I will spend on you, he says.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. Time to please Allah. New time, 8 to 9 p.m. UAE time, 7 to 8 p.m. Mecca time. Please send us your comments, your recommendations on Facebook, or you can call us at the number that appears on the screen, and you can participate in this show. And we are discussing and talking about hijab. We kind of went into a little tangent talking about this happy British Muslim thing, because it involved sisters who had some kind of hijab. I've watched it. I don't recall seeing anyone that was actually properly covered. But even if they were, that type of behavior to show the whole world, in 2 days, I think you got 500,000 views or something like that for the whole world. As a husband, okay, you have issues with the sisters doing that. At the same time, there's issues with the husbands of those sisters, the brothers of those sisters, the fathers of those sisters.
Some of the brothers and the husbands were dancing with their wives. On the video.
I remember one of my friends, he posted one time, he said, I don't understand. Where is the jealousy of the brothers who post pictures of their wives on Facebook, which is, something that, you put it out there for the whole world to see, and it shows that, how much do you love her, number one, and how much do you protect her and how much jealousy you have towards towards your wife. And when you help her towards, you know, doing something that at least, and you can see that, you know, is very questionable and very, very dodgy and very problematic, then you have to, you know, kind of look at the manhood of that person and question that, that what, you know, what would the Sahaba do? Because, you know, you find sometimes, forget about dancing. The Sahaba sometimes, when they would find their wives just waiting at the door for them, and it was a sign from Jahiliyyah that they, this used to be like an invitation, right? So I remember one of the Sahabas, and he came home, his wife was waiting at the door. He was about to, like, you know, because he thought it's like she's doing something from the Jahiliyyah. Yeah? I mean, they were very strict in that, and very jealous, and they were very protective of their, of their, of their women, because they understood the value of the woman. They understood that the woman is, is the one that protects the house, the one that raises the children, the one that gives the tarbiyah in the house when the husband is not there. That she is the one who is basically, you know, taking a part of, care of a great part of educating and raising the next generation for the ummah, and for the ummah to have continuity and to have, well, not even continuity, but I'm saying quality in the continuity. The woman has to have quality in the deen. And as soon as she loses that, the hijab becomes some kind of a convertible thing that's, you know, just here, there's some kind of fashion statement. Then you find that the daughters will be in the same position. And the whole shift goes from, you know, from Aisha, from Hafsa, from the Sahabiyat, goes to, like, you know, this presenter and this actress and this, who might have some kind of hijab, but she's, you know, the role. This is the image of the successful woman that, you know, our girls want to talk to. But without further ado, speaking, inshallah, on this topic today, we have our dear brother. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi
wabarakatuh. Alaykum assalam warahmatullahi
wabarakatuh. Welcome to our show. It's great to have you.
Barakallahu feek.
And could you please tell us a little bit about what you do first before we get into the actual thing?
Okay, I have recently been appointed as the director with the Al Iman Education Foundation. So I'm basically there to give them consultancy in terms of their Islamic activities as well as the educational curriculum that they have.
For sure.
So this is what I've been doing. Apart from this, I was trained under Sheikh Arshad Bashir Madani. And since then, I have been, for the last 5 years, I've been actively involved in the field of da'wah. And like our friend Akhi Ismail Bullock was mentioning about the Heroes of Islam, this was a project which we started in 2011. And since then, we've covered quite a number of cities in India. And inshallah ta'ala, inshallah, in the future, we can have one in Dubai as well. So the workshop, basically, Heroes of Islam, focuses on motivating the youth. It is also to make them align themselves with the vision of the male and female companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and of course the vision of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we are lost somewhere, you know. Just taking a cue out of what you were saying, the major issue which I feel is the issue of aqidah. And aqidah is quite important. If our foundations are not clear, then the buildings which stand can collapse at any point of time.
Right. Sorry to to interrupt there.
Yeah.
But we have today people who think that it's not important, that actually we should stay away from this discussion, you know, and stay away from aqidah, you know, kill aqidah, kill these issues, don't talk about these things. How do we respond to that? And again, we're not pointing fingers or anything like that.
Right.
But you said that aqidah is the foundation. If that's not built properly, then, I mean, it makes sense, right? That the building, if the foundation not...
Absolutely.
And if, I don't know, would anyone deny that aqidah is the foundation of our deen?
Right. No, if someone feels that aqidah is not an issue, then we keep that portion of his aside and we still focus on aqidah.
Mm.
Aqidah is crucial.
Mm.
And in fact, let me give you one of the examples from the life of Aisha radiallahu anha.
Yes.
Upon occasion, a beggar came to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha and knocked on the door. And this was after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she... The lady who, the slave woman, she opened the door and there was a beggar. And the beggar said, give me something to eat.
Hmm.
And they had nothing to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine, this is the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they have nothing to eat. So Aisha radiallahu anha says, who is it? He says, there is such and such beggar who's come. He says, whatever he's asking, give it to him. He says, we only have a handful of barley.
Hmm.
And Aisha radiallahu anha was fasting. So that is the food for you to break your fast with.
Sorry.
So Aisha radiallahu anha says, give it to him and Allah will provide us.
Allah.
And subhanAllah, this was at Asr time, come Maghrib time, and Aisha radiallahu anha has nothing to break her fast with.
Yeah.
She breaks her fast with a glass of water, and she starts her Maghrib Salah. And whilst she's reading her Maghrib Salah, there's another knock on the door. And the slave woman attends to the door. And there is a man who comes and gives a goat. Since the time Rasulullah had passed away, he had never come and knocked on the door. But now he comes and knocks on the door and gives a goat. And Aisha radiallahu anha turns to the slave woman and says, is this goat not better than that handful of barley that we had a while ago? And she made a statement. And this is a most remarkable statement from which I hope the sisters watching can take back a message. She said, none of you can be a true believer unless your trust in Allah is more than what you see in the palm of your hand. See, you can see it in front of your hand. Your dunya is in front of you. We were mentioning about the penguin dance and everything and, you know, trying to, you know, look like the others, imitating the others. That is in front of your eyes. But your trust in Allah should be more than that. And that is where I want to say that, you know, this is one of the crucial quality that we must have. And our trust should be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from there on, to build the aqidah. The aqidah is very, very important. You must know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects us of. We must know what Allah wants us to do. We must know how we must believe in Allah. How must we believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why is it that we are ready to die for the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why is it that we are ready to die for Allah, but we are not willing to live like a Muslim? So this is a crucial question which we must ask ourselves.
Because we're talking about sahabiyat and women, we're trying to basically help our sisters to link back to look, you know, because a lot of people look forward, but they forget to look backwards. And we can't. I don't believe that we can move forward without looking back. You can't. And there's a saying that, you know, maybe it might not be related, but it says, you know, remember where you come from. You know,
your roots.
Remember your roots, right? You can't be. It's my. You can't move ahead if you don't have a connection to the beginning, right? It just doesn't make sense. It's illogical.
So what are you meaning here? By beginning, you're talking about the
time of the Prophet ﷺ. We're talking about those examples. The Prophet ﷺ said that my generation is the best generation, the one after it. You know, the stars that the Prophet ﷺ, yani, he made the mithal of these stars. Yani. My companions are like stars. Right? Right. Whichever you follow, you'll be guided. How can we bring back this love of the sahabiyat in the sisters, and to, as opposed to look at examples of actors and whether they're Muslims or not, we're not talking about that, and actresses, and to look at these women who were truly successful in the sight of Allah. Forget about the sight of you know, human beings, the sight of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, yani, you know, said that. So how does your program maybe tackle this?
Or? Right. See, the most important objective should be that we must introduce the life of these companions, the female companions as well as the male companions, from an early age. You see, when our children are small, and you know, I'm coming from India, where Bollywood is very famous, and you know, some of the leading superstars of Bollywood have got, you know, the title Khan, and people associate, you know, people enjoy them. The point that I wish to make here is that we must introduce who Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu is right from the time a child is growing. Because this is a formative age. Right. At the formative age, we must introduce them not to certain film stars and certain songs, rather the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the lives of the companions. So it's very important, you know, you get these lovely books for children on Fatima radiallahu anhu or Khadija radiallahu anha. These books must be picked up and the stories must be narrated every night to the child. Because while you're reciting it, the stories have a moral and lesson. And that moral or lesson forms the nature of the child.
So how would the hijab fall into this? How would a parent use this to make a girl, a daughter, love hijab, for example? Because that's one of the things we've been kind of neglecting. We're trying to see how can we instill the love of hijab, because we're talking about that, into the hearts of those young sisters.
Right.
As you said, this imprinting age is so important.
Right. You see, what I look at it is two things. One is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other is obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The definition of this obedience must be taught to the child right from the time he's small. It's surprising that when a child is growing up, the child is scared if his mother sees
him or her doing something wrong. Yes. Or the father will see him or her doing something wrong. So they will avoid doing a sin in front of the parents. But behind the parents, they might be committing a sin. Right. So they have to be taught about who Allah is and that Allah sees you even at that place where no one else can see you. So you bring in the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unless and until the position of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is made clear, the child will not understand the message of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See, the moment I have able to relate that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands, I have to follow it. And whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, as I hear, I affirm. Right. If that quality can be inbuilt in the child, then the moment the child reads the verse of the Quran, which says that say to the believing man or say to the believing woman that they should lower their gaze and guard their modesty, the moment they shall read it, it will come into their heart. So it's important for those who are mothers and have young children at home, they start doing the tarbiyah from right now. The definition of Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul, it has to be explained very well to the child from his age, you know, whatever his capacity is.
Okay, give us some examples of, you know, let's go into more practical things, but give us some examples that our sisters today can look towards or look back at, and why were these examples, why would these be better examples to follow than, for example, someone today, right, that are, you know, I don't want to name girls that are out there on the, you know, that our sisters themselves follow these days and they want to watch, but can you give us some examples?
Right. Look, I would share the story of Safiya bint Abdul Muttalib, may Allah be pleased with her. She was the daughter of Abdul Muttalib and the sister of Hamza radiallahu anha. And her relation with Hamza radiallahu anha was such, so strong, that only when Hamza radiallahu anha bought Iman, she bought Iman. Till that point, she had not bought Iman. And she is also the mother of the famous companion, Zubair radiallahu anha. So, when Zubair had bought Iman, and she had not bought Iman at that time, she used to punish her son. But what Islam did to her, and I can talk about her bravery, you know, something which women should look up at. Many women are scared, you know, they get scared of the slightest thing. And we were discussing the other day with Akhi Ismail Bullock that women get scared of cockroaches. Right. So he said even he gets scared of cockroaches. But subhanAllah, we don't have cockroaches around over here.
Who, me? I'm very brave.
SubhanAllah. May Allah reward you for your bravery.
But I did correct it. I said it's not quite being scared, but it's more like a yikes kind of like.
SubhanAllah.
They're not exactly very, appealing, are they?
No, they aren't.
Unless you live in Thailand, you eat them, of course. Yes. That could be possible.
We can send them to some other countries where they eat them, inshallah. So anyways, well, coming back to the issue, the story of Safiya radiallahu anha. Safiya radiallahu anha, she was known for her bravery. And one example I can give you was when a battle had taken place and the women of the household of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the other companions, they were put up at the fortress of Fari. And in order to protect them, a male companion was sent. And his name was Hassan bin Thabit. And he was a poet companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he had never lifted a sword in his life. So when he reached over there, a Jew came to know that the females are over here. So if one of us can enter and attack them, then khalas, you know, we've done our job. So one of them started climbing the fortress. Safiya radiallahu anha saw that and she instructed Hassan, "Oh Hassan, go and strike him before he harms us." Hassan says, "Ya Safiya, if I could do that, I would not have been here, I would have been at the battlefield. I can't do that." So Safiya radiallahu anha, the brave woman that she was, she took a step forward and she struck him and chopped his head off. Now, what happened at this point was, Hassan bin Thabit was instructed on go and throw the head away to the enemies. Because the enemies would know that, look, the women are protected.
Right.
So, Hassan said, look, I can't do that. I've never done that. If I could do that also, I would have been at the battlefield. So, Safiya radiallahu anha, the brave woman that she was, she just lifted it and she threw it back. Even at the battle of Badr, at the battle of Uhud, where Hamza radiallahu anha was martyred, and at a point when the Muslim army had started staring defeat, when everyone was taking a step back, Safiya radiallahu anha came forward and she started striking the head of the enemy to a point that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed Zubair that go and bring your mother back because I fear she may harm herself.
Subhan.
And when Hamza radiallahu anha got martyred And Safiya radiallahu anha wanted to go up and see the body of Hamza radiallahu anha. Rasulullah instructed Zubair, don't allow her to go. So she told Zubair, why is it that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not allow me to go? And when Rasulullah heard it, he allowed her. And when she went to the body, she said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. She cried, but she still had a brave heart. She fought. So subhanallah, the point that we want to make over here is that our women must be brave. They must be ready to take up any kind of tough situations which can come up in their life. And of course, we don't mean that, you know, if you have a tough situation with your husband, you become a Safiya like she was with the enemy.
Chop his head off.
And no, chop the head off. You can't afford to do that. So this was the life of Safiya radiallahu anha, very briefly.
But yet, I mean, what we can relate it to is that on this side, when you say they have to be brave, is that they have to, we have examples of Safiya radiallahu anha, how she was able to have patience and deal with these very stressful situations. Absolutely. Like battles.
Absolutely.
So this, a sister could look at this and say, you know, well, this, mashallah, she was not only like me. Maybe a sister says, well, I'm living in a non-Muslim country with a minority. Hang on, they were also the minority. They were being physically attacked, threatened with death. I'm not being threatened with death, the sister can say to herself. They stuck on their religion and they had to sometimes, like you said, she had to take up arms to defend the other women.
Absolutely.
And the sisters don't have to do that. So sometimes they can say, okay, I can wear my hijab. Yeah. I can stand proud and I can take that now and again, that person shouting comments, calling me a penguin or a ninja or whatever, out of the bus window when I'm walking down to the supermarket. I can take that because I'm not having to go out with a sword and fight attackers off. So they can use that to look at.
Look, the best of personalities to have ever walked on the face of the earth was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was not spared of titles which was to the extent that he was called a sorcerer, he was called a magician, he was called a kadhab, and a kadhab is a person who is a perpetual liar. Astaghfirullah. These are the kind of titles which was used on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And imagine the situation when Aisha radiallahu anha was slandered, her character was slandered. That was another difficult situation which had come in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with. Look, while the sisters must look up at female companions as their role model, there is one role model which must be there in each of our heart, and that is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we must learn how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did sabr. So like you mentioned, the cases where people are calling them names because they are taking up hijab. And the land where I come from, that's not a land where the Muslims are a majority. There are challenges which you will face. But how you are able to maneuver yourself and how you're able to build iman and put your trust in Allah, that this is solely for the sake of Allah. The moment you start thinking that, look, I am wearing this hijab because I shall look good and I shall feel protected, that thought where you keep reminding yourself, then there's a problem. But the moment you wear it thinking, this is solely for the sake of Allah, then whatever people shall say, it will make no difference. Yani, we have been given the instruction that the whole world is a, you know, place where you can just masjid pray. You can just read your salah wherever you wish. If we start doing it in the middle of a road in the land of the kuffar, and if they say any comment, does that mean we leave our salah? We must be proud of our identity.
We have to, inshallah, take a short break, and we'll be right back. Again, we ask our audience to contribute to the show, to ask questions, and give us a call, inshallah, the number that appears on the screen. We'll see you in a bit. Assalamu alaikum.
Time to please Allah.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back from the break. Now, before we went for the break, obviously, we were talking about some examples and how we mentioned Safiya radiallahu anha and how the sisters can see what kind of hard, really physical struggle she had to deal with, but she remained steadfast on the deen, and how they can really apply that quite easily into most of the time what is generally an easy situation. Most of the time, it's, and that's even for the brothers, having a Muslim appearance or doing certain aspects of the religion, it's more of a self-confidence issue. It's not really, most of the time, it's not like a threat to their life or those kind of levels. It's something quite easy and something quite simple. But before we continue, I believe we have a phone call. Muhammad from Mecca, mashallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I'm happy to talk to you, and I want to thank you very much. I enjoy actually your program. I want to say that the way to Allah is not difficult. It's full of happiness. Yeah. When my husband died, may God have blessing on his soul.
Yeah.
I found the sweetness of life, believe me, in supplications and in prayer. So the way to Allah must... we must say to people that the way to Allah is not difficult. It's full of happiness. It's full of the sweetness of life. My English is not so good. I hope that... thank you very much.
Allah bless.
Thank you, sister, for very nice comments there.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, that you know, real happiness is not in dancing, and you know, because these are very limited, right? And you need that stimulant. You need it on a perpetual basis, right? But with Allah Subhanahu wa Taala and choosing, you know, the path to Islam, you have that inner peace and happiness that yani, no one can take it, right? So it's like it doesn't, you know, because Allah is always yani present, right? Uh-huh. Allah is yani doesn't, you know, Subhanallah. So yani, you're always, if you understand it, if you can see it, if you can you know, know your position and know, you know, how important this is for you, khalas, you'll never be without, you know, happiness.
You know, one of the things which you just said about, and the sister also mentioned about supplication, that she finds peace in supplication. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the medicine for the heart. You see, we go, whenever we have a problem with our heart, one is a medical problem,
yes,
and other is the spiritual problem. Spiritual. Now, for the spiritual problem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a medicine in the Quran, which is ala bi zikrillahi tatma'inul qulub. That indeed, in the zikr of Allah, shall the heart find peace, it shall find tranquility. So we must engage ourselves in a lot of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. As much as we can do, as much of zikr which we can do, this is a medicine for our heart. And for those sisters who face uphill task in taking the hijab or any other aspects of Islam, if they continue with the zikr of Allah, indeed their heart will be at peace, and inshallah they will be able to overcome any of these problems.
Let's talk about, someone actually posted and asked me to talk about this, but it was about two women that are mentioned in the Quran, and one of them being Maryam.
She's the only one mentioned by name actually in the Quran,
by name,
only woman,
yes,
subhanAllah, in the Quran.
Because it says that she yani, she took a hijab, okay, from them, yani. So actually, the word hijab is used when it
and
comes
she withdrew
in the
context. Herself.
Yeah, she drew herself. And we know that she was very young, number one. Okay, even from the Israeliyat, which are the some of the narrations that come from the Jews and the Christians. But we know that she was quite young. And we know that she was, yani, subhanAllah, in charge with a great task, yani, subhanAllah. She was the mother of Isa alayhi salam, one of the greatest prophets, yani, you know, in Islam, which is Jesus. And then we have Asia, who was, yani, subhanAllah, the wife of the worst person yani, almost ever walked this earth, yani, right? Yes. And that is Fir'aun. And she was a believer, right? And speaking about supplication that the sister made, she made a supplication. A very beautiful supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him a house in Jannah. Yani, yani, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I mean, this is so beautiful, because you know, the sister was making it. So it's like supplication, a sister. And you know, a difficulty. What a difficulty, yani, to be, you know, you would say that, you know, she's a VIP. She's got everything she wants. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given her the sweetness of Iman. And she's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِي وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ قَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. And he saved me from Fir'aun and what he's doing.
SubhanAllah.
So how can we take these two women, how the sisters can take them as example? I mean, what do you think?
Well, as far as Asiya, in fact, there are two other women which I would like to mention along with Asiya radiallahu anha and Maryam, may Allah be pleased. Asiya, may Allah be pleased with her, and Maryam, may Allah be pleased with her, which is Fatima and Khadija, because the Prophet ﷺ said that many amongst the men have reached the stage of perfection.
Yes.
But as far as women are concerned, there are only four. One is Asiya, the second is Maryam, the third is Fatima, and the fourth is Khadija. Of course, not in that order. May Allah be pleased with them all. So there is a, we must read more about their life. When we read the life of Asiya radiallahu anha, like you just mentioned, she had the riches of the world. She, like you said, she had a VIP lifestyle. Whatever she wanted, she could have got. And all she had to do was, she had to just follow her husband and obedience to husband. But she chose the punishment which Fir'aun gave on her for the sweetness of Iman which she had. She preferred to go through that sacrifices. Something similar to what Sumayya, may Allah be pleased with her, the first martyr in Islam, went through. That all she had to do was say, I go back on the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I leave the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But she stuck to that punishment which she was facing. So again, drawing parallels with the issue of what we were talking of, people being called names for taking up hijab. Look into their lives. That they had, they gave their life for Islam. And when it comes to simple things like hijab, why I say simple thing? Because compared to Islam, following Islam,
hijab is like a basic, and it's still in Islam. It's not something like, you know,
it's not a major thing. I mean, of course, it is important in Islam, but compared to your iman, hijab is just a facilitator. You know, it facilitates the process. For that, people just let it go. Yani for a single statement, somebody says something and we let go of our hijab. Our boss says that yani we have to leave the hijab, otherwise how would you meet the customers, etc. We let go of the hijab.
Actually, I had a sister, I guess we're in the same high school, but she saw my page and she messaged me. She was saying that, you know, that's how she left the hijab. She was wearing it, but then people started saying that, I mean, I guess, you know, the question comes in, a lot of sisters say that, you know, well, I'm not that good, so I'll just leave hijab because I'm not a good representative of hijab, you know? I mean, how, you know, a lot of sisters have that question. Can they just leave hijab because they're not good representative of it? Or how does it work?
This is a total whispering of the shaitan. Yani, the shaitan wants you to think that you are not good. This is what the shaitan wants you to do. All the time he wants you to think that you are not good, your iman is low. Let me tell you something. One of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he started going to the streets and started saying that, I am a munafiq, I am a munafiq. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu saw him and he said, what happened? Why are you calling yourself a munafiq? He says, when I am with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my iman is very high. But when I am away from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my iman level comes down. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu says, in that case, you know, even I am a munafiq. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to this incident, that if your iman level would have been at the same level all the time, you would have seen the angel. So iman goes through ups and downs.
So sister should not let these things...
You should not let these things affect you. If you allow the shaitan to overpower you, when these thought comes in your mind, you should say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. This is total whisperings from the shaitan. You know, this is an aspect of Islam. Who will take you away from Islam? Who is your open enemy? Ask yourself.
Shaitan
is your open enemy. And you must always ask your question, yani, for whose sake am I wearing this? If I've taken the hijab, is it because of pleasing people? Yani, many people take the simple hijab and they say that we want to look simple and let people know that, you know, how modest we are. Even that is wrong. Because that also comes under riya. That's also show off. So while some sisters may take hijab which is very decorative and may attract attention, some may take very simple hijab with the intention that, you know, people will look at me and think we are very pious. It has nothing to do with people. It's between you and Allah.
Ordering and obeying the words of Allah.
Absolutely.
Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taib, just to wrap up, we're actually running out of time. And just a few closing remarks when it comes to, because I think now we'll wrap up the episodes of hijab. Of course, our sisters, depending where they are in the world, and we pretty much live in a global village today. In some areas you might have, obviously, it's more, the culture is more conducive towards hijab. But at the same time, as you said, this is something between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the servant. And for those who are facing challenges, those sisters who might be second-guessing themselves, you know, questioning themselves whether, you know, I should do this or I should not. You know, it's just, we tell you, just do it. Just take the step, take the step towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you'll find Allah will come yani, towards you. Mm-hmm. And just commit. And, you know, I'm not saying be proud of it, but I'm saying, like, feel that you are doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and don't feel, you know, weak or negative or oppressed or anything like that, because all that you, the only thing that you're doing is that you're pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Absolutely.
You know, you are pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are obeying the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there can only be benefit out of it. And in following all the other paths, that all the fashion, hijab and not wearing hijab, I mean, how much time do you have to impress people? How many years, how many days do you have? It's going to end. Even the beauty is going to fade away. And then you're going to reach that point where, you know, all my beauty, all my youth has gone. Oh, you know, now, you know, let me start, you know, becoming. And you don't know you're going to reach that or not, right?
Absolutely.
So you don't, you know, this life is too short, and to follow these whispers of shaitan, to follow the whispers of the shaitan from the ins, yani, from the human beings, right, which are so many. And, you know, when shaitan comes to you, he doesn't tell you that, you know, this is, here's some alcohol, you know, drink it. He tells you, here's a bottle of water.
Khutwa to shaitan.
Yeah, it's like, it looks shaitan. Like water, almost, you know. Mm. Just try a little bit. So he kind of, he takes something that might be halal and starts twisting it slowly.
Step
you know, take that hijab a bit this way. Put a little bit of that way. You know?
Do it because I'm happy dancing video.
it's okay, everyone. It's just for the Muslims, you know.
It's a bit of fun.
You will impress the people. You know, people will not think that you're so grumpy. You Muslims are so grumpy. You know, come on, show the world who you really are.
Subhanallah.
And I always say, if Rasulullah would be here, would he participate in that? Would he approve of that? Would be happy with that? Would he laugh at that? This is, and in the end, the questions that we have to ask ourselves. Jazakallah khair, Allah ybarak fik, for joining us today. And inshallah, hopefully we can have you again.
We'll hopefully have you, inshallah, in the future.
Inshallah.
You and your nice pink shirt, inshallah.
Inshallah. I noticed that. Mashallah. Barakallah fik.
So we've come to the end of the road, as a poet once said. And inshallah, so join us. What, you
poet a smile?
Which poet was that?
Poet a smile? I was about
that
to
was
ask
a
him.
Joke. You don't even really want to know who said that. I think you'll probably remember after the show. Okay. But anyway, as we come to the end of the road, yes. And inshallah, join us at the same time, same place, next week, live from Dubai on Huda TV. I'm your host, Ismail Bullock, and he's your host,
Gabriel Romani.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Please Allah, a chance to gain reward I will spend on you, he says, on who spend in good cause. Good deeds are opportunities, sparkling bright and true, raising you in the sight of Allah and adorning Al-Jannah for you. So rush to earn His reward. Don't forget the oppressed.